Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I'm so incredibly glad that you are here today. We are going to pick up where we left off yesterday with Ram Menon from Avamo, Conversational Artificial Intelligence. That's pretty cool stuff that Avamo is working on. And we're going to pick up right where we left off. Are you married or single?
I'm married.
How long?
20 plus years.
So congratulations. That's an accomplishment. I just celebrated my 30th wedding anniversary last week. So I know what it takes to be an entrepreneur and to have a long-lasting marriage. That takes a very understanding partner, doesn't it?
Well, I think there's all things in life. You try to separate it into multiple compartments and keep each compartment happy and ticking, and that's just the way it is.
You hit it dead on, man. Happy wife, happy life, right?
Yes.
Dinner and a movie out, or dinner at home and Netflix?
No, we're old-fashioned. It's always dinner and a movie out. And I think the way to think of and the way we thought about it is, when we had a little kid, we couldn't wait to get away. And so Saturday night, rain or shine, whatever happens, it's a dinner and a movie. And we're fortunate the kids have grown, and we still do the same thing, rain or shine, Saturday night.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, Star Wars.
You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be?
Green.
Green? All right. What are your hobbies?
My hobby is really, I mean, my most important hobby is spending time with my son.
What makes you happy?
So, what makes you happy? I mean, for a guy like me, it's about getting things done. I mean, it could be as simple as an ice cream with my son. I call it getting things done. Or getting a deal with a big customer, that's also getting things done. So if you run your life based on getting little things done, and then they all kind of add up.
I like that. We talk about that on the show often about the greatest way to success is through planning and breaking the objectives down into reachable, simple milestones. Just get things done, and they start stacking up on each other. You get this one done, and you feel good about it. I'm sure there's a psychological piece there to some kind of an endorphin deal or whatever, but you feel good about the fact that you got that done, and they begin to just kind of accumulate, and you have each one of them is like a miniature celebration.
Yeah, I mean, this is the way I explain it. You know, we, as any entrepreneur or company, I have salespeople in my company, and they come and ask me, what's the strategy? What's the strategy to build a $100 million business? And I say, it's really simple. It's one line. Go out there and sell more deals. That's it.
It kind of leads into another question that I would imagine I probably know the answer to now, but I'm going to ask it anyway. They say there are three types of CEOs. There's the sales-oriented CEO, the operations CEO, and the finance CEO. Which are you?
I'm neither of them.
Oh.
I feel like I am a customer-oriented CEO. In other words, if you do what's right for the customer, everything else falls into place. I think a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, you know, some people say I'm very successful at raising money from venture capitalists. Some people say I create great culture. And all that doesn't matter. If we live in America, it's a capitalist society. You want to build things that people want to buy. It's that simple. So if you build things that can help to make a better world, people buy, and you make a profit of it, that's America.
If you stay focused on on the customer. Well, and the other thing is, you said keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, or, you know, never stop, or never stop, never stop, never stop trying. That's one of the earlier things. I think persistence comes from passion. You were talking about doing a good thing for a customer, you know, doing good things for a customer, and it kind of naturally falls into place. It doesn't sound like your focus when you first looked at it. I mean, profit is always matters, but that wasn't it. It wasn't like, well, we got to find a way to make money. You were talking about trying to find a way to solve a problem. The natural next step from system to system now is system to human.
Yeah, I think that's the point, right? I think what is the problem? Do people have a problem? Living in Silicon Valley for 20 years, I see dozens of people building great technology and then going to go looking for a solution. So it's like, how do I use this to solve some problem? I think it's the other way around. You know, if there's a real problem and you can solve it, then everything else falls into place. People want to buy it, and if people want to buy it, people want to work and build the technology. If they want to do that, people will give you money to build the business. And it's just a very, very virtuous circle, I guess. I mean, I just think about it from that standpoint. Why would somebody want to fork over their hard-earned money to buy something from you? And whether it's going to make their life better or their business better, that's all that matters.
So if I were to circle back on that, we could add a fourth type in there. You're a product CEO.
No, I have to respectfully say again, I am a customer CEO. All that matters is my customer. All that matters is whether I'm solving the customer's problem. The product, like I said, there's millions of products looking for a solution.
It's like a fifth one we've got to throw in there, right? It's I absolutely am getting it from you. And it makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure that that every CEO out there maybe gets it as deeply as you do when it comes to this. When we talk about, there's an old quote out there that says that an expert is the man who's made the most mistakes in a narrow field. What kind of mistakes have been, you know, that have led you to become an expert in what you do?
I guess it depends on what you think are mistakes. You know, I don't think about anything as a mistake. In a deeply philosophical bend, a mistake means, you know, somehow you are atoning for something wrong. But I think mistakes are just the notches you make on your education. You know, we call this the hard knocks of life, right? So mistakes are all the, you know, kind of reading you make for all those things. So if every mistake helps you to become a better person, that's great. I'll just use an example. A long time ago, I was an engineer, like a regular engineer, and I was building an induction melting system. As a young engineer, I got some of the temperatures on this wrong, and one of my customers in the Midwest, I think it was in Ames, Iowa, someplace, actually, his steel melting plant, the roof blew out. It just blew out because it overheated. So I went to my boss saying I made a mistake and fully expecting to get fired. And what he told me is, since I've now paid for your mistake, the damages were like $40,000 or something, he said, now probably the next 10 melting systems you make, you won't make this mistake. So I've paid for your education. And that's kind of how I think about this.
I have a very similar story. So in a previous life, many years ago, I was in the construction industry, and we built houses. And really simple, we customized houses. One of the simple changes a customer could make is they could choose to just flip the orientation. What we called that was garage right or garage left. Well, in the writing, you know, the written summary of our contract, it would say, you know, changed from garage right to garage left. And then along with that is married a set of plans that go out. Well, the wrong physical plans went out. but the builder didn't read through the written change orders. And so he built up this entire house in the garage on the orientation, not flipped. The garage was on the other side. The customer comes to see it. We haven't even got a roof on it. We're just putting the roof on it. Customer comes here. This is the wrong house. We're like, well, we'll give you any way out of this so that we can, you know, let you take the house the way we built. Nope, not happy. Have to tear the thing down to the ground. Owner of the company at the time looks at me and says, you fired this guy, right? I said, no, I just paid $60,000 to educate him. Why would I fire him? He's never going to do that again, you know.
Because, see, because there's a larger point here, right? Ideas have little value in business. Very little value. I'll give you a cent for every grand idea. What matters is execution. Can you execute? And when you execute, you will make mistakes, right?
We have to invite them. And I think that successful entrepreneurs we welcome them. We want them. We have to make the wrong choices to make the right choices. There's no way. Unless we're just incredibly lucky, we're going to make the right choice every time.
Yeah, see, the point here is, right, as much as we like to say that we're in the social media age and all that, if you have a happy customer, now he'll tell five people. Five people will tell 5,000 people. And that's what matters. Like, you know, people talk about advertising and, you know, yeah, you need a pretty pictures, but that's what matters. Because people tell other people. And eventually, you'll be found out.
So what's your favorite aspect of being an entrepreneur?
The thrill of the unknown. You know, whether you could succeed or not, and you know that you're doing things that nobody else has done before to some extent, especially in technology. You're inventing stuff, and you just don't know sometimes whether it'll work, right? I mean, think about what we're doing to detect context and intelligence. This is like fundamentally inventing stuff, right? It may seem mundane, but if you're really inventing, you're writing lines of code to really replicate human behavior, and that's not an insignificant task.
No, it's not. And that thrill of the unknown, that solving it. I have to imagine that there are a number of little, if you will, celebrations along the way as you make things work that they didn't work before.
Yeah, that's right, right? Because even if your customer doesn't know it yet, they want something better, right? So you have to drive yourself to invent on their behalf, right?
Do you think that the venture capital market and entrepreneurialism today has replaced, in essence, or outsourced, if you will, the R&D divisions of what used to be big companies doing research and development? You know, Bell Labs would go and do all this research and development and pour all this money in. Now it's more about what happens in the free market of entrepreneurialism and venture capitalism, and those that do well and create a product that customers want are the ones that are now absorbed by these larger companies instead of them having deep R&D budgets?
No, I think you need to think about it very differently.
Okay.
I mean, what has happened is three vectors have aligned. And this is from the basics of economics, right? So the first is the cost to create a product has declined. The second is the cost to distribute a product has declined. Right? And the third is the cost of capital has declined. So let me unpack that. Cost to create a product, you don't have to buy servers. You can get it for bucks on the dollars from Amazon Web Service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cost to distribute a product, you can put it online and you don't have to have an infrastructure. The car dealerships. It took 50 years to build a car dealership. It took Tesla 3 years to start selling their cars online first. So the cost to distribute a product is down. And then the last but not the least, the cost of capital. Only the big companies with big office parks and big R&D budgets could do this stuff. Well, no, now you put it up on Amazon, you can do it online and build a shop or a store front end, and you can come to Silicon Valley and somebody will give you $5 million, and boom, you can try it out. So that's what's changed, these three vectors, the cost, distribution, and the cost of capital. And that makes a good, like, I call this, like, we are kind of now in the Florence of the 21st century, where artists could get patrons very quickly. We could very quickly create great works of art. And in some sense, that's what's happening. This is 21st century, where you're creating great companies on the fly because these three vectors align.
But there's still a number of guys that go out there. Like you said, there are a bunch of ideas that are searching, our products that are searching for a solution. Are you saying that the separation, although there's money that gets poured into this like mad, but the separation is really about the customer?
There's no doubt when all these three vectors have aligned, there is going to be some that don't work out, and that's always what happens, right?
Right.
But the good ideas and the good, like I said, if the customer wants to buy, all the biggest hurdles to building great companies have disappeared. That's the point.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the elephant in the room is, are you building something that people want to buy?
Right.
So even if all the hurdles, and so if you can get that right, like Amazon did, then you're on the right track.
How did you make your first sale? You talk about, you know, I'm this little company in Silicon Valley that nobody's heard of, and you've got 70 customers now. I wouldn't say you're little. I'd say you're moving in the right direction. You're in a very emerging space. But how'd you get your first customer?
Being an entrepreneur, the first thing is to focus on delivering an insane amount of value to that first customer. Then it is so compelling. The second thing is to answer his question when he says, show me. So I showed it, right? And that's how I got my first customer. I got a meeting. I said, this is what I can do. And he said, really? Okay. So can I save you money? Or can I make you money? I mean, you just break it down to the basics. I can save him a lot of money. He said, show me. I showed him something. He said, okay, I'll give you a shot. Did it. Liked it. He was very happy with it. He referred two more customers to me. Those two customers tended to be Fortune 500 companies, did well for them. They referred another four customers, and the rest is history.
There are others that are in the conversational AI, to use the industry term. How do you distinguish yourself from your competitors?
Great question, and I hear this from my employees all the time. And I just tell them that if they have, you know, the customers we have, then that's a problem. If they don't, focus on if what you're doing is great. The biggest thing that distinguishes me from others out there is I have better customers. I have more customers in more countries and in more languages than all of them. And that's the only thing that matters. There is no silver bullet. The only silver bullet is your happy customer.
Ram, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy and, I imagine, hectic schedule to come out on the show. If somebody wanted to be able to reach out to you and connect to you, how would they do that, Ram?
Oh, really easy. Just I don't have a problem. I'm one of those guys who pass out my email, ram@avamo.com. Avamo is A-V-A-A-M-O. And interestingly, the Avamo means open in Finnish, in the language Finnish. So I'm very open. Yes. And so we wanted to create a company that builds technology that is open to new ideas, to new approaches, and for whatever it's worth, that's what Avamo does on one side. And the other side is, as a business person, you always want to have the name of your company starting with A so that you're in the top of whatever list that shows up to. So that also. That's right. Both ways.
I really do appreciate you taking the time out to be on the show today, Ram. It was truly a pleasure meeting with you. And if I were to sum it all up, it is never, ever, ever give up. Do the right thing for your customer.
That's it.
Man, that was a really good interview. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I hope that you join into the Daily Drive tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why is That Company the white label digital marketing provider for some of the biggest agencies in the industry? Because we get results, we retain clients, and we deliver profitability. Visit www.thatcompany.com to find out how we can make your agency more profitable.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, executive producer Jake Perrick, web guru Taj Royer, and the audio man with the plan, Shoddy. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.